Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the words of Psalm 42, beginning with the first verse. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In recent months in the news, we've been watching the uprising of various people in countries in the Middle East. And one word that occasionally gets used to describe mostly these young people, about the age of our college students, who are wanting to have a different government and a different rule and system over them, often the word that is used is a yearning, that there's a yearning, a longing inside of them to have freedom and to have some different form of authority over them. Yearning, that's a word we maybe don't use a lot, but it's probably true inside of a lot of us in various ways. What do you yearn for? What do you long for? What is there inside of you that you're hungry and thirsty for something? There are a lot of different types of yearnings, if you will, in the heart and the soul of a person. It might be yearning for romantic love, to find that one right person to spend the rest of your life with and have a family with. That's a wonderful longing that there can be inside of us. For some, there's a parental yearning to either have children someday, or once you've had children, to care for them and to make sure that they're okay. There's a yearning for friendship. There's a hunger inside of us to be accepted, to fit in, to have people like us, to have people want to be around us. There's a yearning for happiness, for freedom. There's a yearning inside of us for justice. A hunger that we want things to be right. And we look out at all the trouble going on in the world and how bad things can be. There's a longing, a yearning inside of us for everything to be right and to be put right the way it should be. But above and beyond all of these, there is a still yet deeper, larger, and more important yearning in the heart of man, and that is a yearning for God. To know him, to have everything be right with him, to have him know us and who we are, and to have him take care of us. Now, some people are able in this life and in this world for a time to suppress or deny themselves of that yearning. In the text before us, the psalmist uses the word thirst and the concept of being thirsty to depict this yearning that's in the heart. And he's speaking here of a believer, maybe a believer who has slipped back in terms of his faith. And he describes it in the imagery of a deer that's been running through the woods and is just now heavily panting and looking for water and finally seeks that stream and goes down and quenches its thirst in the stream. And he uses that as a picture of how the believer is thirsting and looking for God in this world and to have a relationship with God in his life. That concept of thirst is kind of an interesting one. We see it in dogs when they've been running too hot in the sun and out in a field and no water around and how they're just panting so heavily. Maybe you've had times when you've run a race or maybe done some physical exercise or for some reason or another have been away from getting a good cool drink of water on a hot day, and you know what that's like when you start to feel so parched and you just can't wait till you finally hit the water fountain or grab the water bottle. That sense inside of us that we just need to have water. What a picture that is used here to describe the yearning in the heart of human beings to have a relationship with God. The psalmist brings up the fact that there are times when it would appear to us, when we look at our lives, that God is nowhere around, that he's so remote or that he's so hidden from us. We wonder if he even knows we exist. And we have times like that usually when we're facing trouble and difficulty. Maybe the dreams and the hopes that we had about how our life was supposed to go haven't quite panned out the way we wanted. Or maybe something we thought was really going to be important to us in life now has fallen through. Or maybe it's even some particular evil and sin that just perplexes us over and over again. Something we just keep falling back into. And we wonder about ourselves. And we're ashamed of ourselves. And there's times like that when we can look at life and wonder, where is God in all of this? The psalmist says, my tears have been my food. Rather than drinking the good water that can quench the thirst, we have to deal with the salt in the tears dripping down into the corners of our mouths. And it's at times like this when we have what I would describe here the psalmist is using as spiritual self-talk. Why are you so cast down, O my soul? The Hebrew words here actually have to do with groaning. Why do you have this sense of just groaning toward God? And it's maybe at times like that when things aren't going so right for us that scoffers and unbelievers will come by to us or we'll hear their voices in our culture around us and they'll ask the question, so where is this great God of yours? Where is this God that you're looking for? He doesn't seem to ever come and help you. You can't see him. What a waste of your life, you idiot. Why are you wasting your life on this faith stuff? It's so meaningless. It's so unimportant. It's so insignificant. And sometimes we can start listening to that way of thinking. Every once in a while, I have some college student that'll come into my office and talk to me about problems they're having in their spiritual life. It seems that when you hit that age of about 17, 18, 19, 20, sometimes you can start having a little different perspective on your life sometimes. And maybe the more childlike faith that you had coming up through your elementary years and into your early adolescence, and that kind of zeal you had for your faith, it's just not quite there anymore. And occasionally I'll have people say to me, you know, I'm struggling so much with my faith right now, I wish I could believe the way I did when I was a kid. I wish I could go back and have that kind of faith again. And that's the cry of the believer who's struggling again to find God and to return to his grace. Now, we are tempted in this world and in our society today to quench our thirst, this longing inside of us, in various things of this world, in all of the pleasures and things that are out there in life, thinking that that's going to satisfy us. But it's like running to the beach of the Atlantic Ocean and sticking your head in the water and sucking in salt water. It maybe will quench your thirst for a moment, but ultimately it will dehydrate you and ultimately it will kill you. There is only one stream that can truly provide the quench for this thirst that we have. And God must provide it and has provided it through the work of his Son, our Savior. And our thirst for God can only be satisfied where he has chosen to place that stream. And that is where we find Christ through his word and his sacraments. In that beautiful stream, we have the full forgiveness of all of our sins, the complete holy record we need to get to heaven before God, absolute peace with the Almighty Father who will be our judge someday, and the promise of going through the gates of heaven. What else do we need to quench that thirst inside of us? Now, is it possible for someone to be a believer and not want to go to church? Our psalmist is addressing that today. Someone who is really thirsty for God does not need to be invited to take a drink. Someone who truly has that thirst does not need to be invited to take a drink. Living Christians do not need to be commanded to go to church. A true love for God will result in a love to be in his sanctuary and to be at the place where that stream of the water of life touches our lips. A Norwegian pastor said this once, "The infant's mouth and the mother's breast go together by instinct." And even Satan understands that about us and the need we have to be quenched by God's grace, which is why he tries so hard to tempt us away from the sanctuary of the Lord. Listen to what the psalmist says. "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast." One of the signs of being one of those who truly thirst for and long to be quenched by the grace of God is we like to be in the multitude of believers. We like to be around others who have this same longing to be filled with God's grace. As John says, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen.